From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, A Prayer for the Prevention of Sin, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, The All of Belief. The text is Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Our unbelief is the greatest hindrance in our way. In fact, there is no other real difficulty as to our spiritual progress and prosperity. The Lord can do everything. But when he makes a rule that according to our faith, so shall it be unto us, our unbelief ties the hands of his omnipotence. Yes, the confederacies of evil shall be scattered if we can but believe. Despised truth shall lift its head if we will but have confidence in the God of truth. We can bear our load of trouble or pass uninjured through the waves of distress if we can gird our loins with the girdle of peace, that girdle which is buckled on by the hands of trust. What can we not believe? Is everything possible except believing in God? Yet he is always true. Why do we not believe him? He is always faithful to his word. Why can we not trust him? When we are in a right state of heart, faith costs no effort. It is then as natural for us to rely upon God as for a child to trust its father. The worst of it is that we can believe God about everything except the present pressing trial. This is folly. Come, my soul, shake off such sinfulness and trust thy God with the load, the labor, the longing of this present. This done, all is done. Thank you. At this season of the year, the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding to think about section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas. As Dr. Cairns continues to deal with the second division of the petitions in the Lord's Prayer, he begins to address the words, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." To begin, we must understand what is meant by temptation. The word is used in the Bible in a number of ways. Dr. Cairns will take time to explain what temptation does not mean in the context of the Lord's Prayer. Then he'll go on to show the term's meaning and the admonitions which are attached to it. Now Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, A Prayer for the Prevention of Sin.
We return this morning to our studies in the Lord's Prayer. And we're in Matthew chapter 6. So we will read the words of the Lord's Prayer again. Actually, we'll start where we started the studies, verse 5, and we read through to the end of verse 13. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. We come this morning to the 13th verse of this 6th chapter of Matthew, where the Savior teaches us to pray, and lead us not into temptation. And I'm not going any further. We will consider the delivering from evil at a different time in due course. And lead us not into temptation. I'll say the same about this as I said of the previous petition, forgive us our debts. That it sounds very simple. It sounds exceedingly straightforward. It comes rolling off the end of the tongue. There doesn't seem to be any difficulty with it at all. But the reality is that the more you think of it, the more you feel its difficulty, and the more you recognize that there are some very real problems that we have got to face as we try to understand this. There's nothing more natural than to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation. But when you've said all that, we have to come back to the question, what do these words really mean? And that's when you run into difficulty. From the very earliest times in church history, great preachers and great commentators have felt the difficulty of getting through to the meaning of these words. Lead us not into temptation. Can we deduce from that that God may lead his people into temptation? On the other hand, can we ever expect in this world, while we're in this body, to be free from all temptation? Is this a realistic prayer as it appears in its most native force and meaning when we read the words? And then, how can we reconcile this petition, lead us not into temptation, with other texts of Scripture that pronounce temptation to be a good thing, not something to be avoided? As soon as you look at the text and begin to consider it, you realize there are real difficulties in understanding it. And what causes the difficulty is the confusion surrounding our word temptation. Consider this. James tells us that God cannot be tempted, neither tempteth he any man. Yet Genesis 22 verse 1 records that God tempted Abraham. Again, the Lord Jesus teaches us here in this text to pray, lead us not into temptation. Yet, a little earlier in this gospel, in Matthew chapter 4 verse 1, we read that the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Again, while the Savior tells us to pray, lead us not into temptation, James, his brother, says we should rejoice when we're tempted, and that he who endures temptation is blessed. Again, you'll see that the word is a word that involves a great deal of difficulty. The difficulty lies in the many-sidedness of the meaning of the Greek term that is translated temptation. And you'll find that both the Greek and the English have this scope in their meaning. Temptation is seduction to evil. When Satan tempted Eve, he was seducing her to commit sin. He was enticing her to rebel against God. When Satan tempted the Lord Jesus, he was seeking to seduce him from his perfect holiness and obedience into disobedience against God. So temptation is a seduction to evil. Temptation may also mean a deliberate attempt to lead someone to ruin. When the scribes and Pharisees questioned the Lord Jesus Christ, tempting him, they were seeking to trip him up in his words. They were seeking to cause him hurt and injury. They were seeking to lead him to ruin. And then, of course, temptation may mean trial. One of the meanings of the English word trial is an investigation by experience. That's a very good definition of trial when we think of it as it appears in Scripture. It means a test. And the test is often for the purpose of purifying. It is also for the purpose of proving or of finding out what is in a person. And it's in that sense that God tempted, tried, or tested Abraham. It's in that sense that Peter says, the trial of your faith. That is the investigation of your faith by the experience of affliction and persecution. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, will be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The Lord told the Israelites back in Deuteronomy 8 verse 2, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. And then he gives his purpose. To humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. So, here then are the various meanings of the word temptation. And what's confusing is not just that a word has different shades of meaning, but what's particularly difficult with this word is that in almost every case, there is something of every shade of meaning attaching to the word. For instance, when you read of temptation in the sense of an enticement to sin, now that's always with a vicious purpose. That's satanic in origin. And yet every such temptation to sin still does provide a test of a man. And it does provide a trial. It proves where he is at that time with God. And again, when the word is used in the sense of a test or a trial, it may be for very good purposes. But nonetheless, the possibility of sinful failure is always present. So the idea of probation, the idea of the possibility of falling into sin, even when it's God presenting us with a test, is always present. This is what causes the difficulty in understanding a text like this. All this sounds confusing. And yet, it is the meaning of temptation, the word itself, that will help us to grasp the meaning of the text. Keep in mind what I said, and now try to understand. What does it mean, lead us not into temptation? Let me start off by telling you, obviously, what it doesn't mean. It's good that we understand what it doesn't mean so that you don't set yourself up to fall into the temptation of the devil. So that you don't pray something that is totally outside the will of God and then become frustrated when it's not answered. This does not mean do not entice us to sin. For the very simple reason that would be a blasphemy, because God cannot and will not induce or entice anyone to sin. Every inducement of God is to holiness. Every word of God is pure. There is absolutely no taint of wickedness in it. Everything that God does for His people is to make them a holier people, to separate them unto Him. So it would be a gratuitous insult to God to pray, Lord, do not entice me to sin. It's the first thing it doesn't mean. Second thing it does not mean is, it does not mean never allow us to be tried or tested. Because we have scripture after scripture that tells us that this testing is indeed the will of God. Peter writes that it is the will of God after you have suffered a while to make you perfect. The testing is the will of God. We have already read Peter's words that the trial of your faith is much more precious than of gold that perisheth. So it is not the Savior's intention that we should start praying, Lord, never let us be put in a situation that will investigate the reality of our spiritual experience, that will try the reality and the depth of our devotion to God. That is not what the text means. The third thing it does not mean is never allow us to be tempted to sin. While we're in this body and while we're in this world, temptation is part of the fabric of human experience. You can no more envisage living in this world, in this body, without temptation than you can envisage breathing without air. It's an impossibility. It's a contradiction in terms. Paul says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The Apostle John, and we look at this in due course, speaks of the sources from which temptation will hit us, the world and the flesh and the devil. And while we're in this body and in this world, it is impossible to escape temptation to sin. If Jesus were telling us to pray, Lord, never allow us to be tempted to sin, it would be tantamount to praying, Lord, take us out of the world. But He Himself has stated in so many words, in John 17, verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil, that is, the evil that is in the world. So these are things that it doesn't mean. When you've wiped out what it doesn't mean, that will leave you to discover then what it does mean. Lead us not into temptation means clearly, providentially, lead us so as to make us holy and watchful.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.